nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
Elmer Letterman said, "Don't sell the steak, sell the sizzle." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who sell the sizzle. Our first playmaker used to work for McAfee and Yahoo, while our second playmaker helped launch a successful frozen yogurt company. With us today is the CEO of a cloud service provider that has doubled its revenue in each of the past 3 years, while our second playmaker fits college students with potential employers. These great playmakers are Jim Lewandowski. Jim is CEO of Firehost, and Paige Robinson. Paige is CEO of Trellis, and we're going to begin today's show with Paige. Paige Robinson is a founder and CEO of Trellis, which is a platform that helps employers quickly and painlessly find the best students for their entry-level positions. Using matching technology, employers have the opportunity to share their job openings with students that are a fit. Students can opt in and learn more about the company right from their mobile phone. As a result, Trellis is able to deliver a curated, ranked list of top candidates to employers without them ever leaving their home office and at a much lower cost than traditional recruiting methods. Interesting. We'll find out about that. Paige, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me.
This is an interesting concept, and you and I talked before we set this up, and you discussed it with me, but I want the listeners to know, how did you come up with this idea for Trellis?
Yeah, really the idea came from a true pain point on both sides of the equation. So with any marketplace, you have two sides, and for us, we have students and employers. So as a student that went through this process who had, you know, for the most part, done the right things, had good grades, and for the most part, and was involved in college, I still found it very difficult to know how to best channel what I had done to the right employers that were a match. And then actually when I went and worked for a great company after school, I actually stepped in briefly into their undergraduate recruiting process and really saw just how painful it was as well for the employer. Tons of money, tons of time to find kind of the needle in the haystack that's a fit for your organization.
Well, your website is Trellis, TRELLISE.com. We were speaking before the show started about the current generation, and I was talking about the fact that I would have died to have Trellis when I was looking for a job back 100 years ago. But tell us about how Trellis fits in with the way that the kids these days want to interact with potential employers.
Definitely. That's actually one of the biggest selling points when we go and talk to prospective customers. You know, not only does the employer get a list that's digestible, that's already pre-vetted, but they get to reach students exactly where they are. So a student will actually get a push notification right on their phone that they have one match. And right from their mobile phone, they can learn more about the company, see more about the opportunity, and opt in and share their profile with that employer.
So as we talked about earlier, you're really a matchmaking organization. You're matchmaking that employer with a potential employee.
Correct. We're just trying to set up first dates, really, between employers and students, that there's some insight there for both sides before they kind of get to that first interview.
Now, I'm assuming there's a cost for the employer to be on Trellis. Is there a cost for the student?
No, it's free for the student.
So let's say that actually, I have one more question before I ask this question. What does a student have to do? What does a student have to give Trellis so you have enough information for a potential employer to know that's the right candidate?
So one of the big things that makes us a little bit different is we actually started first on the student side of the equation. And so the product that's been on the market for the last year and a half is tailored specifically to students, really helping students manage their campus organizations. So putting calendaring, messaging, communication all in the same place right at their fingertips. So today what we have within our database is we do have GPA, major, class year, those typical things that you have to have. But the other big thing is we know what they were involved in, which differentiates us from their current LinkedIn resume. So one of the big things we're trying to bring to the table is really actually help decipher what this involvement means as an additional data point to GPA and major.
Who starts first? Does the employee, potential employee, the student, look for these companies that are in your database? Or does a company send something to the employee and say, we want to talk or we want you to look at us?
It starts first on the employer side. So the employer basically fills out their job description and who they're looking for that potential student. They also have a company page that they can manage year-round, which, again, for a company that may not have that the undergraduate recruiting machine developed yet, this is a great way to show who they are, again, without ever leaving their home office. So at that point, when they submit that posting, what we do is we then begin to filter the students. We begin to vet the students through three filters. So the first one is a basic match. So we basically send that opportunity to the students that are a fit based on the year they're graduating, GPA, major, what the student cares about. And at that point, the student has the opportunity and, as mentioned, can opt in or out. So now we've done basic match and interest. And the final, basically the final filter is we actually then, using our magic technology, rank the top students. And that's what the employer sees.
Well, you have a couple of names that I want to ask you about. I mentioned that the website is Trellis, TRELLISE.com. Where did that name come from?
Right. It's a little bit different. But the idea, of course, you know, being a startup, the name is misspelled, but you know it is based on trellis, you know, what you basically use to grow vines. And so the concept was that we really want to be for students that framework that helps them throughout their entire college career and after. So we're the framework for students as they get involved in student organizations, but we're also that framework that helps them make the leap from college to their first job.
Well, you have, according to your website, six different colleges you're currently working with in Oklahoma and Texas. You have to sell in both ways. You have to sell employers to be using your service, but you have to let these students know that you're doing it, and you have something called Trello.
Right.
That ties in really well with two different words there, but I want you to explain it and tell us what a Trello, who or what a Trello is.
So we basically, early on in this process, we wanted to build a product that students loved, and we're still very much on that journey of building a product that delights students. And we thought, gosh, the way to make sure we delight students is to have students in the kitchen with us, you know, being a part of every aspect of how we build our product and market on campus. So Trello is someone that actually interns with our company and are really a part of the fabric of who we are. So I mean, it's crazy. We're about to actually have 12 Trellos to send on Houston here in the next 4 or 5 weeks and live in a house together and hear from, you know, in the past we've had everybody from Mark Rennick from Rackspace to Phil Libin, the CEO of Evernote, come and speak to these students and pour into them. And then in return, we get to really pick their brain on how we develop our product, how we market on their campus, and they're kind of our arms, so to speak, on all these campuses.
So talk about giving back. This is a great way to give back to these Trellos. And they're then going back to their campus, and they don't shut up about this. They're telling everybody, you gotta sign up for Trellis.
Right. That's definitely the hope. And again, it's kind of, when you think about business and all the nuts and bolts of it, the Trellos program for me is one of the biggest reasons why I wake up every morning, because I really do feel like it's a way that we give back, pour into these students. We've helped, even before we had this whole jobs piece of it, we helped so many of them find jobs and provide recommendations and, you know, hopefully really help steer them in what they want to do after college.
It's a great way to get them involved, but you're also getting the companies involved too, because they're working with you because they want to help get these students. They're selling themselves when they make these presentations to them also. And it's a win-win-win for everybody, you and the students and the companies.
So that's the hope. That's what the goal was for sure with developing the program.
Well, I mentioned in the introduction that you worked with a frozen yogurt company. I didn't mention the name. Was Spoons.
Correct.
And you helped them become one of the most successful yogurt companies. Tell us about that story.
So I was actually still a student in college when this happened. And the owner is going to get a kick out of this that we're talking about it. So it was a guy named David Mebbin who actually had a very successful travel-oriented business called Fat Tire over, you know, in Paris, actually all over the country and the world now. And he wanted to start something in College Station. He was naggy. And he presented to a business class that I was a part of that he would basically take applications and pick three students to come up with an idea that he would back, and we would get to be part of every step of that. And so being a sorority girl, being a typical sorority girl, the one thing that we were missing in College Station was frozen yogurt. And so I brought this to his attention, and over the course of the next 6 months, we picked the name, we did all the trademark stuff, we picked the location, did all the branding, and I got to see it open, and it became a huge, huge hit, and still is in College Station. Actually, since then, they franchise and expanded around the country.
Well, let's get the transition from spoons to trellis. You learned a lot. You were still in college. This is something that you probably got excited about. You really had a lot of fun doing it. What did you learn with spoons frozen yogurt that transferred into developing trellis?
You know, I think I learned that business is really, really hard, but it's not complicated. You know, I think the same drivers that make a business, any business successful, are really the same behind any type of business concept. And so for me, you know, that was a great taste. I loved it. I love, you know, and there's a number of other things I kind of got to do, you know, in college and after college, where I got the taste of this creation process and finding people that are smarter than you to help you do it and things like that. But I wanted to apply that to a problem that was real to me. And at the time of working on spoons, this jobs problem was real to me. This is a huge pain. We've got to find, there's got to be a better way to do it. And then it dawns on you. It says, well, why don't I do it? That's the worst, most scary words you could ever say to yourself. Why do I not fix this problem?
Well, you were working at Alvarez & Marsal in Houston. And according to your bio, you helped redesign the hiring strategy for a Fortune 500 company. Did that happen before or after you thought Trellis, or they just could happen at the same time?
You know, it's actually really neat. The original concept for Trellis was beginning to formulate even when I was in school. And through some very wise words, I did not go do it right after college, but went and had the privilege of working with Alvarez & Marsal. So it was actually after, but was really a very neat opportunity to really step in and see what are the different engines that drive a Fortune 100 company in the way that they think about talent. And that's definitely been a huge kind of token of inside knowledge as I've talked to these customers that were looking to sign up for the fall.
So you had a lot of information going in as you started this. But looking at your website right now, you have something called a summer blackout.
Right.
What is that?
So, again, we have this two-sided marketplace of students and employers. And what's fun is the student side of it and the way that we think about marketing forces us to stay really fresh. I mean, it's kind of the engine that I think makes us really think through all of our different communication and marketing. And so the summer blackout is basically, it was kind of this marketing campaign we did this week where we took...
I saw the video as you were coming
you did.
Down.
You okay.
Going to blackout.
Yeah, so y'all have to, everybody will have to go check it out. But basically, we wanted to make a statement to the students that have been with us, you know, the 6,000 students that we have today, that we're really going to take the product to the next level. They've really grown with us. So the product that we have on the market has truly been through the feedback of student users. We launched the, you know, kind of the scariest beta product known to man intentionally because we wanted students to really tell us the direction we wanted to go. But what we want to signal is we've heard what you've said. We know what's important, and we're growing up. And we're growing up because this is going to be a way for you to find jobs. We're growing up because we're a bigger company. You know, we're a funded company, and this is what you can expect going forward. Thank you so much for giving us the direction we need. So that was kind of our big statement, very tailored to the student side of the market.
And you'll see that when you go to trellis.com. Right there, you'll see the summer blackout. And there's a couple of videos you can see with Paige, too. Paige, thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you're a playmaker developing this business. Paige Robinson is CEO of Trellis. It's TRELLISE.com. If you are an employer looking for students, entry-level employees, or you're a student at one of the colleges they work with, please go to Trellis and see if you can help in either way. We're going to take a break, but don't go away. We're going to come back and talk to Jim Lewandowski. Jim is a CEO of Firehost. As I mentioned before, they've doubled their revenue each of the past 3 years. We're going to find out why, who Firehost is, what they do, and why you should be interested. And we're going to be back right after this.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, Hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at WOKC.org.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We have another interesting guest. He is a CEO of Firehost. His name is Jim Lewandowski. And Jim oversees the growth and strategic direction of the cloud service provider, which is what Firehost does. With more than 25 years' experience in the technology industry, Jim's expanding the security expertise on the Firehost team. Now, before joining Firehost, Jim served as Senior Vice President and General Manager at Rackspace, where he delivered 17 consecutive quarters of accelerating annual revenue growth. And I did the multiplication in my head. That's about 4 years. That's following the company's successful IPO in 2008. Jim, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Well, thank you for having me, Steve. Great to be here.
I didn't ask you all about where you work. I didn't mention all about where you work because I have that in your bio. But you have worked at Rackspace, which I just mentioned. You work at McAfee, IBM, and Yahoo. How has all that previous experience prepared you to run Firehose? Because you're a relatively new CEO at Firehose. How has that prepared you?
Yeah, this is my first time being a CEO. I think that I've been very fortunate throughout that time to learn from some, you know, very well-renowned CEOs. And the lessons that I've learned most were focusing in on the customer. And we're not necessarily trying to do something that is sold to somebody as much as we're trying to solve a problem that really does good or helps other businesses with their business. And so the lessons I've learned in the past are really around how do you deliver great customer service regardless of what the offering is that you're building. And that's what we try to do at Firehose too.
Well, let's talk about both those because I'm very much a believer in customer service because there's not a tremendous amount out there and those companies that do it stand out. But you mentioned solving a problem in customer service. Let's talk about what Firehose does because there are a lot of people out there that have no idea what you do and they don't know what cloud computing is or they don't know what that cloud is. I have my head in sometimes, but what is what you do?
Yeah, the cloud is kind of a term that gets used very frequently and applied to many different concepts, if you will. In its simplest form, think of it as just a way to do computing offsite as opposed to doing it within your own enterprise or within the walls of a company. A company like Firehost actually has infrastructure, that being computers, servers, storage devices, network devices, inside our data centers that people then connect into, which allows them to perform the computing functions that run their websites or things of this nature. What distinguishes Firehost is we provide that cloud computing infrastructure, but we do it in a manner that is extra secure. So people that have really important data that requires privacy and protection are the type of people that will use Firehost for their infrastructure computing needs.
I would think the biggest question on someone's mind or a company's mind is why Firehost and what can you do differently to protect what I have, to make sure that nothing happens to it? Yeah. Does that go through their mind while they're looking at different companies like yours?
You know, all of us in our lives are increasingly using more computer applications, whether it's on your cell phone or whether it's when you go to a store to transact. And so what makes us different is it's a combination of the people that have the expertise in order to understand how to use technological tools that provide protection. There are processes that we have to have in place as well. Because the hackers that are trying to steal the information from us computer users are very creative. They have lots of interesting techniques. And so any type of technology can be compromised in one fashion or another. So, but when you combine people, process, and technology, that makes it extremely complicated, and that's what makes Firehouse stand out from the rest.
I'm going to ask you another question about that in a moment, but first, how did you get started? How did Firehouse start?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. Our founder was a gentleman named Chris Drake, who spent early days of his life in the military. And so he comes from protecting people is kind of his background and mentality. And Chris had built a website development company. And one of his customers was Butterball Turkey. And back in 2007, around the Thanksgiving holidays, the website that he had built for Butterball had become compromised. Hackers had broken into it. And what they did was they attached a coupon on the Butterball website. And when you clicked on the coupon, it actually sent you or unknowingly diverted you to the hackers' websites. And then when you entered in all
and
your...
And it looked like the Butterball website. There's a name for that. It's when you think you're on a website, but you're not.
Right. Yeah. And on the... when you clicked on the coupon, it sent you to their website. You then entered in the information that was requested, and the hackers then collected all your information unknowingly. And what happened was is that Butterball didn't even know this was going on, neither did Chris, until some of the stores had contacted them and said, hey, we want to redeem these coupons. You owe us some money. And he said, what coupons are you talking about? And that was how they discovered that there had been a compromise of the Butterball website. You can imagine lots of people go to that website around Thanksgiving, so there were hundreds of thousands of people that were affected by this at the time.
Smart hackers. Well, let's continue with that. There have been a lot of recent high-profile data breaches that make what you do extremely relevant. Target CEO resigned this week. We heard Neiman Marcus, Michaels, right in our own backyard. And it makes compliance and security front and center topics, and that's what you're all about. So what's the message you're giving to businesses on distinguishing between the pursuit of compliance and security?
Yeah, that's a really important distinction. Today, many people are trying to settle for compliance. And by that, I mean they're trying to satisfy their auditors that they have a secure enough website so that hackers can't compromise them. Compliance does not equal security. And this is what people like Target have discovered. If you look at a recent Business Week article that chronicles the Target breach from this past November, the CEO mentions that they had just completed their compliance audit in September, right before the holiday season. They thought they were good. We know now compliance does not equal security. They were not secure. And this is what we are in the business of. We're in the business of securing people's websites so that they're not subject to these kind of breaches.
You have something on your website. And by the way, the website is firehost.com. You have something on your website, which I thought was interesting, where you can compare Firehost with some of the competition. How do you stand out? What do you do differently? Why should I do business with you compared to looking at these other companies?
Yeah, typically what happens when you start to layer on the additional levels that are required to secure a website, the compromise or the trade-off that you make is that you're finding that performance begins to suffer because you're adding on overhead, if you will, to a website. In our case, we have custom built a platform that is hardware and software that allows us to provide great security without the compromise or the overhead that you would get from a performance standpoint. So when you look at comparing us from a performance perspective to others, we provide you the security, but we also give you the great performance as well.
Now, you're a young company. You're not that old, and you're putting a tremendous amount of dollars into it. You recently announced a Series E funding round of $25 million. What do you plan to do with that money?
Yeah, there's most of the money will be spent really in two areas. One, it takes a lot of work to keep up from a technology standpoint, so we're investing in building more products that will provide even greater protection for our customers. And that requires us hiring great engineers, people that that no cybersecurity, if you will. The second side of it is that we will be looking to expand our distribution, and so we'll be hiring salespeople and marketing people and those folks so that we can reach a broader customer base and continue the growth that you mentioned earlier.
And obviously that's what you need. I can only go so far with all that. Now you're building on that. You're talking to a business audience right now. There are a number of people that are listening that are in business. What guidance could you give them on relating your business to theirs? What would you tell them in terms of security to make sure they can safeguard their data?
Yeah, most people have come to accept the fact that if they haven't already been hacked, that they will be hacked at some point in time. What I would say is that it is not necessary to accept that. The world has to some degree, tried to surrender and just say that it's going to happen, and then it's a matter of what do you do once you have been hacked. I would tell you that that's, you don't need to accept that. And if you take the approach that says, I just want to be compliant and satisfy my auditors, you are going to run those risks that you see the big brand names who spend millions of dollars on security not able to protect themselves. So you can come to a company like Firehost and get the type of security that you really need to protect your sensitive data and information.
As I think you said before, that nothing's perfect, nothing is totally secure. And it reminds me of a home that has all these padlocks, the windows are locked. For a burglar, they're looking for easy entry. They want the easiest one. I would think it's the same way with websites, too. They're looking for the easiest ones to get into, like Butterball Turkey. They didn't have anything there, and they got into it. So what you're providing is just keeping hackers out because they don't want to go through the trouble of going through all the security you provided.
Right. Last year, we blocked more than 100 million hack attempts.
Oh, so you can tell when they're attempting to hack.
Yeah, not only can we tell, but we know where they come from, you know, who they are. We're able to log that, filter it, and report to our customers and let our customers know just how much they've been under attack as well, albeit even though we're providing them that protection along the way.
Well, as a business, I would like to know that, mm-hmm. which lets me know that the money I'm spending with you is I'm getting a return on that because of how safe I am.
Right. Yeah, most companies want to know what is going on, what malicious activity is happening. They also want to know that they're protected, though. It may be even more important.
Absolutely. Firehost.com to check out cloud computing. I recommend you do it to get a better understanding. Jim, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Jim Lewandowski is the new CEO at Firehost. Again, firehost.com. My name is Steve Klein. Thank you very much for joining us. You can check our website at playmakerstalkshow.com to see our current guests, our future guests, and listen to podcasts from the recent shows. We'll see you again next week.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, playmakerstalkshow.com.